well into our sesshin. You are firm in your practice, throwing yourself into your practice. There are those who are simply one with this one doing, becoming this one doing, one with this. When you are able to be really into it, in good condition, then you carry on eagerly, one with your practice. But it seems that there are times when you let yourself weaken as well. Like you're building up and breaking down and building up and breaking down. Each of you is, of course, in a completely different state. Each one's world is uniquely their own. We're taught that the Buddhas were once just as we are now. All the Buddhas and the ancient teachers practiced, following through with their practice, polishing this Buddha nature. The Buddhas and ancestors were once just as we are now. Now we are immature, unripe, but we are also able to be hearing and believing and practicing. We are here practicing because we are certain of our own essential Buddha nature. We have decided to carry through, to break through. And now we are continuing step by step this noble practice. The Buddhas and ancestors were once as we are now. In the future, we will become Buddhas and ancient teachers. Practicing as the Buddhas and the ancient teachers have shown us. This reminds me of a letter that I received recently. It was really great. It was written to me using my old name, the name that I received when I was born. Since even before becoming a monk, I haven't used this name, going on nearly 60 years now. It was from a young friend, someone I knew when I first returned from the war. He only heard that this is my address, but he didn't apparently not know the name that I've had now for nearly 60 years. It was funny and pleasant to see that name there suddenly on the paper. He wrote about something that I said to him back then. He recalled how I would take one bowl of rice for myself and give two bowls to him. And he recalled the advice that I gave when he came to me with a problem. His problem was anger. He said that I told him that anger was a small, narrow mind. If you can let go of that narrow state of mind and step into the shoes of the one that you're angry with, you'll understand where he's coming from. And then there'll be no need to be angry. He said that he was about 16 years old at the time, and he promised himself that he would learn to live in this way, taking one bowl for himself and giving to others, to his juniors. He later taught those who worked under him in the same way, he said. He told them about what I had taught him, about the need to give up narrow-mindedness, small-mindedness, to let yourself grow, to become a bigger person, to build and polish your character. He said that he had devoted his life to this, and he could only recommend it to them. He said it had been 50-something years since he had embarked on his life's work. It is really something to positively work, to be positively working, to polish the character, to be a bigger person, to know that there is this path to follow, this great, great work to do. the Buddhas and the ancient teachers have laid out the way to practice. The Buddhas and ancient teachers were once as we are now. There must have been the same small-mindedness that we know so well. Yet they didn't stop there. They were not arrested in small-mindedness. They didn't hang on to the small self. True self, original Buddha nature, Buddha mind, heaven and earth, one root, all the myriad things, one body. Now, right now and here, this is the perfect straightforward presentation of cause and effect. There is no deception. Cause and effect is perfectly honest. Everything is straightforward. Cause and effect are inevitable. Nothing is out of order. A seed is planted, conditions arise, and we are blessed with the resultant world, very straightforward. And we're blessed, and we're blessed, and we're blessed. Now. All things are born of causes and conditions. All conditioned things are without self-nature. Without self-nature, no going, no coming. No going, no coming, so no attaining. No attaining, no grasping. Great emptiness. Great emptiness. We call prajnaparamita. You embrace all being. Each being includes all being. Each and every one is one being alone. And what's more, nothing is arrested, nothing stops. There is no solidity. You are just perfectly receiving this one truth just right. Just right. But this is no time for all this explanation. How can you go on just taking, restlessly looking off in distraction, lost in the samadhi of me, 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 if you do not dedicate yourself to all things which are dedicated fully and abundantly, without limit, to you? If you do not dedicate yourself to all things, you will not be satisfied. You will not have peace. Without devoting yourself wholly, you will not be able to understand the devotion, the support, the blessings which are yours. Dedicate yourself wholly to this one doing, this one doing. If you are careless, you fall into the samadhi of self-cherishing. You labor under the false impression that there is a self. This solid fixed clump is me. You grasp at this solidity. As a result, you do things which to hurt others. As long as your belly is plenty full, you are able to disregard those who hunger. You don't see yourself. You look off. Shakyamuni Buddha, the world-honored one, awoke to the reality that all the universe is his own true self, my own true self. Heaven and earth, one, I myself. All the beings of the universe are my own lovely children. To say all beings are my children is to say that all beings are I myself. Everything is functioning just beautifully, with perfect skill. This is my life. The Buddha saw this. In reality, this one step is not a step fuming with dissatisfaction and frustration and complaints. There is just stepping. Just stepping. Just this one step functioning as it is, doing what is to be done. The feet just step as they are to step. Where is there any complaint? Where is there any dissatisfaction? All of life is perfectly embraced now, here. There is no need to account for it, to keep up with it. There is this and this and this. Because nothing is lost, nothing is separated. All the universe, I myself. Ryokan also encourages us, open your eyes, wake up. Open your eyes, wake up. The awakened step is a noble step, the noble step of this precious life. Ryokan experienced this for himself, and that's why his words and actions are so dear. Each step in perfect harmony with the great way. Just one alone, this one truth. This one alone, is it beleaguered with worries and fears and complaints? You are a being abundant and ripe with all the blessings of the world. You are, as you are, receiving everything. This is your present, your ever-present reality. You are this one breath, this one breath, this one step. You are all here working at your practice very earnestly, but you don't quite hear what I'm saying to you. So it happens that you get lazy, or it happens that you start to entertain your thoughts and get hung up in your ideas. So many people in the world are living in struggle, thinking that to be human gives us the power and the right to think for ourselves and act as we please. It is only natural that we try to get what we need to satisfy ourselves. Shouldn't we follow the path of our desires? Using the wits, people are struggling and struggling and struggling. That in itself isn't so bad, but as long as we cherish self, we do live in danger. We cannot be content. We don't know what we will do. And for a time we're happy. Then that happiness is lost. We're up and down and up and down and up and down. Clinging to self, you will not be able to know the genuine joy of true self. So, which will you go for? Sometimes I'm sure that it seems good to be selfish. But as long as you are looking away, you are not seeing the genuine. So you are mis-seeing, misapprehending, seeing only the superficial. Is it possible to see everything at once? How was it when Shakyamuni Buddha attained profound enlightenment? Glancing at the bright morning star, all the universe, I myself, became crystal clear to him. It wasn't the happiness of one who gets something for oneself. If you receive a feast while others are without it, it's better not to eat that feast at all. It's better to be hungry with others. But the joy of the Buddha's enlightenment was this: all beings are Buddha. Endowed with Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. No one, nothing, is absent from this truth. The Buddha understood that there was inherently no work to be done, no one to save. But because of upside-down perverted thinking, beings fail to see this one truth. Reality is perfectly straightforward. It's right here, right at your heels. Bring to life, let live the world that you encounter. The 15 or 16-year-old boy who was told, take one bowl for yourself and give others two, was able to make the commitment to live that way and to follow through for some 60 years. He didn't regret it. In fact, his letter was to say quite the opposite. Set out to accomplish it, and you will accomplish it. Do not set out to accomplish it, and you won't accomplish it. If you do not accomplish something, it is because you have not set out to do so. Although my past evil karma has greatly accumulated, indeed being the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way, may all Buddhas and ancestors who have attained the Buddha way be compassionate and free me from karmic effects, allowing me to practice the way without hindrance. May they share their compassion, which fills the boundless universe, with the virtue of their enlightenment and teachings. Buddhas and ancestors of old were as we are now. We, in the future, will be Buddhas and ancestors. Knowing this, you can give it your all, your all. This one step is the true mind of faith. This one step, this one breath, is the true mind of faith. One breath. Continue. Carry through. This is your truth, not somebody else's, and truth is not somewhere else. Truth is this one breath. You have been given a practice, but if you have any questions or any doubts about it, we will go over them very carefully. Bring any questions that you have to Doksan. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way. I beg to urge you all Life and death is a grave matter. All things pass swiftly away. Time waits for no one. All things pass swiftly away. We can still hear the echo of the words of day one. Today is our first day of Sesshin. And already we're past the middle point. Time does not hold back for you. Just this last Kanon day, a lady came to worship. She brought her 90-year-old mother-in-law. I saw them off at the gate, giving most of my attention to the elderly lady, telling her to take care of herself, to hang in there. I was trying to encourage her. But on November 1st, it was the young one who suddenly died. She had had no symptoms of illness. She wasn't sick. And she died within tens of minutes of showing some sign of a problem. Life and death is a grave matter. All things pass swiftly away. She had a deep connection with Buddha Dharma. She and her husband often helped this temple and those practicing here. The funeral will be held this afternoon, and I would like to go, but since it's Sesshin, I will not go. We are here pouring ourselves into Zazen. This is the best way to give strength to the lady who has died. It is the best gift for her. You will always tend to think that death is somebody else's thing until it happens to you. Until it seems that it really will happen to you, something that happened, it's something that's happening to somebody else. The fact is, you cannot confront the reality of impermanence through selfishness. No degree of self-centered ideas and acts, no self-centered ideas and acts can get you through impermanence. When I meet with true Dharma, I vow to abandon worldly views and embrace and maintain Dharma. Meeting with true Dharma is hearing the truth of your own existence. The notion of I am that you now hold will not serve you when you're faced with death. Life and death is the one great question to be worked through. And I, me, mine will not carry you through the barrier. Genuine self. All beings are Buddha. In essence, you are no different from the Buddhas and the ancestors. All beings possess the wisdom and virtue of Buddha. Eternal self. Eternal self. Everlasting, it is never pulled out from under you. Never harmed, never soiled. Your true self, we also say, is complete merit, perfect virtue. Aren't you now relying on something that will only end in sad farewell? That which you presently cherish won't at all be lost to you, forfeited. Impermanence hangs heavy before you. But, genuine self goes nowhere. True self is always right here, now. Going nowhere. For some people, going nowhere may sound bleak and restricted. To you, I will say, anywhere you like, go ahead. You are free. Heaven and earth, one root. All things, one body. All things. You cannot grasp, it cannot be grasped. There is no one to grasp, no thing to be grasped. There is no thing. There is no division, no separation. Eternal self is never shaken. Complete merit, perfect virtue, any and everywhere. Free. Perfect freedom. Perfect freedom is your true nature. At peace. Boundless peace of mind is your true nature. And what's more, no attachment to self, to this body, to me. So there is only caring for and working for all beings, loving kindness, deep care and consideration for all beings. Loving kindness is your true nature. All the Buddhas and ancestors are selfless, directing their vast love and care to all beings who still suffer under the delusion of ego. The Buddhas and ancestors are looking after us, looking after us. Everyone at all times is receiving the care of all the Buddhas. Good, good. All is well. All beings are my dear, lovely children. This is the mind of all the Buddhas and ancestors. We are being selflessly guarded and protected. Guarded and protected in the loving kindness of Buddha. Right now, right here, right as it is. Yet, sadly, we do not recognize this. We look off, and the great way is right here, right now, right under our feet. And yet we look around and about for guidance, not knowing what to do with ourselves. Sad me, painful me, relentless small me. This is spiritual darkness. I won't look off. It is your intention not to look away, but in fact you are looking off plenty. Stay with this. Stay with this. Before Buddhas were enlightened, they were the same as we are now. Enlightened people of today are exactly as those of old. You must attain self-realization. By remaining in darkness, you not only cause suffering for yourself, but neither are you able to be of help to others. Do you want to be able to serve others? You are here, able to hear the truth of self. If now, here, you do not practice with steadfast determination, you won't be able to truly serve others. You will find yourself spinning your wheels. Your efforts will be without skill. You will be pulled into troubles yourself rather than pulling others out of suffering. You must let go of me and become others, become another. You must be one with others. It's the only way to serve. Those who in past lives were not enlightened will now become enlightened. This is your vow, your aim. Do not fool yourself. Recognize that you have vital work to do. Face the fact of your restlessness and wavering, of your laziness. Don't take some vague experience and believe this must be it. Those who in past lives were not enlightened must now be enlightened. In this life, save the body which is the fruit of many lives. The fruit of many lives, lifetime after lifetime. Really? Yes. just as you wake up in the morning and spend the day complacently going your way, picking and choosing and being jerked around by that discriminating mind. And before you know it, the day is gone. Goodbye. You receive another day and another, 365 days a year, and go over the whole charade again and again and again. You might argue that you wake up every morning and work hard all day until late at night. Then you go to bed, I'm tired, and fall asleep with a heavy snore. Okay. But I ask you one important question. Who is breathing this breath? Even as you sleep, this one breath, who? Well, me, I am. But you, this I am, is sleeping with a loud snore. Not once did you discipline yourself. Okay, now inhale. Okay, now exhale. Right? There is no you breathing this breath. And that's true for everything. You are not doing it. Life's functioning is not happening thanks to any me, me, I, mine. There is no such stingy beast. You are receiving the genuine, the all. Each breath, each movement is thanks to all being. But because you are looking off, you presume yourself, you imagine that I am doing this, I am doing that. How lightly, how superficially we take this wonder that is life. And I promise you, this lifetime ends in no time. A lifetime is over in what seems like a day. Change is swift. All things pass away so quickly. It is rare to attain human form. You have been blessed to be born a human. You have been blessed to hear the precious Buddha Dharma. You have been blessed to be born as a human able to hear and awaken to your true self. This rare and precious gift is now here. Look at the little ant scooting around low on the ground, finding some droplets of water that look delicious and maybe having to fight with all its strength to avoid being washed away. A big foot lands from above, and the little ant scurries with all his might to hide in a safe-looking place. Or now she sees a tasty morsel of food and struggles in harmony with others for an hour, 2 hours to get to load it up and take it back to friends. Look at the earnest endeavor of the little ant. Look at how he pours heart and soul into his work. Exhaustive efforts. Exhaustive efforts. Who are we talking about? You are looking away. Even though your intention is not to look away, if you do not manage to let go and awaken to Buddha nature, well, you set yourself up to be laughed at by the little ant. Life is continuous. Original mind is eternal. Eternal life is you. Eternal life is now here, this one doing. You can dedicate your all to this one doing, you can. Through your exhaustive efforts, true mind will be revealed to you. Even though everything is given you, truth is yours now and here. You fail to pour yourself into it wholly. Proof? Your insecurities, dissatisfaction, anxiety, feelings that something is missing, your griping, your worrying, your irritation, you're getting hung up. You're not pouring yourself wholly into this one doing. All this should be prodding you, hey, you're not exhausting yourself in this one doing. And you know that there is no excuse for it. You know that you have this important work to do. When I meet with true Dharma, I will not doubt. You have made this commitment. Now there is simply carrying it out. You have made the commitment, and now there is simply doing. This one doing. In faith, with faith, please, completely exhaust yourself in this one doing. I'm sorry that I'm not able to encourage and push you more fiercely. But please, heartily believe in your practice. Believe in this one doing. Pour heart and soul into this. Have faith in this one doing. If you are counting the breath, this one count, one. This single. Stay with it. Following the breath, you are one with this one breath. Do not look off. Stay with it. If you are working on a koan, do not do it vaguely, superficially. Do not be superficial. Give yourself to it, all of your energy, heart and soul. Become this one doing. Believe in this one doing. Shikantaza. You cannot afford to be careless doing shikantaza. Be especially attentive. You must not look off. Steadily. Steadily, and still more, carry through. Pour heart and soul into your true self, into your practice. Now, keep it up, please. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.